This is The Parenting Show with Pina Crispo from chicmama.ca. Toronto's news, today's talk, 640 Toronto.
Welcome to The Parenting Show. I'm your host, Pina Crispo of chicmama.ca. And I am so happy. I got a big smile on my face because I've got one of my good friends joining us on the show and returning guest, Allison Schaefer, family counselor, mama, parenting expert, all of the above. Allison, how are you?
Oh, I'm so good. I'm glad that we're talking again. Great to see you.
I know. I'm so glad too. And you always have like such wise advice to share and to give. And even just when we're having like casual conversation, you have like these little gems that you say, like these little tidbits that you share with me. And I'm like, I like that. I'm putting that in my back pocket. That's going in my little Allison Schaefer, you know, treasure box.
Sticky notes for the fridge. Yeah. Well, you know, it's so interesting. You know, my training is in Adlerian psychology. And, you know, we really study human beings and how they behave and how they relate. But the relationship that I'm the most interested in is between parent and child. But a lot of what we're trained in is also husbands and wives and coworkers. I mean, just being a human being. And somehow when we call it parenting, we kind of minimize it. And we think that you should know it intuitively. And we think it should come easy and naturally.
Oh gosh,
turns out it's a very complex relationship. And it requires a tremendous amount of skill and nuances. And I love sharing. In this capacity.
I know we were just talking off air, actually. We were talking about, you know, the year. We're a few months in, we're like 5 months into 2023. And you were saying, you know what, Pina, I'm having like a good year so far, better than last. And I was like, you know what? I am too, but there's still ups and downs. And you were saying, you know what? That's all about growth. Yep. And it's not always fun and it can be painful, but we have to do it in order to come out on the other side.
And it's not linear. I think that's another thing for people to realize. It's more like a spiral. And you will find that as you grow along your spiral, that you bump into the same problem at different times in your development. But it's not like, gosh, why am I still dealing with that? You're dealing with it again, but at a more mature level. And so some of these more deeper kind of growth issues for ourselves can take a whole lifetime. And it doesn't mean you're failing at it. It just means we have these little things that we have to get over and we got to work on. And we only have so much capacity at any given time to chip away at so much. And then we have to kind of take a pause and then we grow a little bit more and we learn it a little bit deeper. But it doesn't mean you didn't do your work the first time around. So don't feel upset if you're like, oh, here we are again, me with my mom issues or what, or whatever it is.
But it's something that as parents, like I know that that comes up for me a lot. There's a lot of issues that come up and I'm like, oh my gosh, am I being a good mom? You know, and I know that there's other friends of mine that say the same thing. And, you know, am I being a good mom? Am I being a good dad? Am I doing this right? What am I doing wrong? How can I support my child? You know what I mean? Well, they're going through something and they're asking themselves those questions, you know? I'm happy that, you know, you shared that with me before the show started. And I wanted to bring it up during the show for all of you guys listening at home too, that, you know what, it's okay. And yes, growth is not always fun and it can be painful, but you said, Allison, you're like, you know what, but you're going to come out on the other side. And, you know, it's good things are awaiting.
Good things are awaiting. I really believe that. You know, a good example of that for just to bring a story to it. You know what, we all bring baggage to parenting. We all had a childhood, we all had early experiences. And so, you know, let's say you had a family whereby, you know, your parents were kind of absent. I mean, there, but maybe they had their own mental health issues. Maybe they had their own, you know, alcoholism or depression or something where they couldn't really be there. Or you were like latchkey kids because you had a single mom and she had to work 3 jobs to support the kids or whatever. And so you became fiercely independent. Well, you might find when you go into parenting, you might make some kind of a conviction to yourself that you say, by God, when I grow up and I have kids, this is what I'm going to repeat. And this is what I'm going to make sure never happens. Yeah. And then we tend to do those things in more extreme forms. So you're either going to really want your kid to be independent because you thought that was a good quality for you, or you're going to go the other direction and say, I want to make sure that I'm always home, that my kid's never alone in the house, that I pick them up whenever they want. I'm going to go to every single sports event they ever have. And then you could be overbearing as a kind of correction for that. So you know, we always show up to parenting with residue of our own childhood. Yeah. And some of it is effective parenting, and sometimes it creates the exact trouble we were trying to, you know, a fresh hot mess.
I know, right? It's so true. But you know what I find helps when it comes to like this parenting stuff, and am I doing things right? And you know, how do I teach my kids a lesson? And how do I help them grow and develop is by setting boundaries. And that's what we're going to talk about today, right? Boundaries.
Yeah. So boundaries is a really tough concept. I think it's a kind of an amorphous word. Like, what is a boundary? What is setting a boundary? Where are boundaries? And, you know, really, boundaries are about basically training other people, teaching other people how you will and won't be treated. That's one part of it. That's a personal boundary. That's not okay. You can't kick mommy in the shins when you get off the school bus. but parents ask me a lot of time, like they'll say, like I just had a situation where somebody stole some money and they said, you know, should I make them pay it back? I'm like, yes, that's how it works in the real world. So really when we're thinking about parenting, think about it this way when it comes to boundaries, that we want to socialize our children so that they can fit into the society in which they're expected to function.
Yes.
Right?
And so yes, Allison.
We have a lot of social agreements that we make. And these social agreements about how we get along with one another, and you know, the idea that when there is a red light, you stop your car, and when it's green, you go, and we drive on the right side of the road. And these are like our little social agreements so that traffic works. And we have a million of these, you know, sort of agreements. So we want to train our kids not to be like, I want to constrain them and conform them in so much as they'll be able to function happily. Parents get really worried about constraining their kids. They think, oh no, I don't want to tame her little spirit. And what if I'm hurting her authentic self if I say no? And but the truth of the matter is kids are going to function better if they know how to get along and cooperate and adopt some of these social rules. So no, you can't have whatever you want whenever you want it. That's going to make you entitled. So constraining is things like when you're done with the dish, you put it in the dishwasher. Constraining is we don't game all day and all night. You know, we need to constrain that so that you also have time to talk to your in real life friends and do your homework. And so constrainment is about making boundaries, and they're healthy and they help kids function, and it helps them get ready for adulthood and the real world. They're a good thing. They're not a bad thing.
I know. And I feel that there is this negative like stigma associated with boundaries in the sense that, oh, you know, boundaries, that's selfish. You're being selfish because, you know, you're putting these limitations, these rules. But no, it's not selfish to care about yourself and your well-being.
Absolutely. And, you know, another way to think about it is I say, like think about a bird in a nest, right? All the little walls of the nest is what's keeping that bird up on that perch safe. Boundaries make people feel safe. Children actually want rules, you know, so it's amazing. I've trained a lot of teachers. I've worked in a bunch of nursery schools. And what you'll find is that when kids are given rote instructions, like you come in, you put your coat in the cubby, you go to the games table and pick a toy, then we do circle time, whatever it is, they know what's expected of them.
There's some routine too. Yeah, something to follow.
Predictable.
Structure. You
know, it's structure, and it means they can go tick, tick, tick. I'm doing it all right. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm getting along with people, and it feels good. It feels good. What happens is then you get to what we call recess or free play, and then everything falls apart because that's like losing the boundaries. It's losing the rules. If anyone has traveled internationally, you'll know how discombobulating it is to be in a country where you don't know how to use the bathrooms. You don't know what hand you're supposed to eat with. Like, it's not comfortable to not know the social norms. How low do I bow? You know, I mean, we want to know. We don't want to fail socially. Rules and understanding and expectations are really helpful.
And that's why you are here to talk to us and help us with boundaries and structure and rules and all of this stuff when it comes to us as parents in our relationships with our children, with our significant others, with our friends, coworkers, everything. So don't go anywhere, because we will be back with more. We've got Allison Schaefer on the show tonight, and this is The Parenting Show.
You're listening to The Parenting Show with Pina Crispo from chicmama.ca, Toronto's news. Today's talk, 640 Toronto.
Welcome back. It is Sunday night and you are tuned into The Parenting Show right here on 640 Toronto. I'm your host, Pina Crispo, chicmama.ca. And with me, I've got Allison Schaefer, family counselor, mama, parenting expert, all of the above, and good friend of not only the show, but of mine. Very, very proud to say that. Allison, we're talking about boundaries. And we started talking about boundaries when it comes to us and our kids. And a lot of people think like, well, you know, that's being selfish. You're being selfish. But no, it's actually, we're teaching our kids like important life lessons. That's one thing I always say. Like, I am a firm believer with like setting our kids up for the real world. And you said that earlier. You're like, you know, we need to set them up for what the real world is going to be like. And there are rules that we need to follow. You know, and like, look, we have laws. You don't follow them, you break them. Guess what? You're going to jail. Boundaries are not that extreme, but very important to have and to teach our kids.
Yeah, it's really, you know, when we're trying to get this concept across to parents, I want them to understand that boundaries are healthy and that it's a this is the other thing, is just changing our expectation. It is a parent's job to set limits and boundaries, but it's also a child's job to test them until they find them. So if you've got a kid who's like getting up and down and up and down and up and down from the dinner table, then you are being very inconsistent. They don't know, is the rule you have to sit at the table? How many times do you get up and down? How far away can you walk from the table? How many times is she gonna yell? They're gonna keep testing until you do something, until you lay down the boundary. So then parents get really disappointed that their child is misbehaving and being rude at the dinner table. But meanwhile, they haven't trained them to say, in our society, we sit at the table, and when you get up from the table, that tells me you're excused, and we remove the plate. That's the consequence. So it's a choice. You know, stay at the table and enjoy dinner. Get down from the table, you're excused. Doesn't matter to me, tomato, tomato. But we have to set that boundary, follow through, do it in a way that is consistent so that you become predictable to your child. So you have to do it every single time. And you have to do it in a friendly way. You don't have to be angry. It's so easy to teach a child when you just are swift in your consequence without the anger, without the yelling. It doesn't need any of those things. And then the child puts together, if I want to stay and have dinner, I guess I better make a different choice. I better stay at the table and not get up and down. And your kids will figure that out in 2, 3, 4 days if you're consistent. But it's the erraticness. It's the, oh, you know, he should just know to stay at the table. I shouldn't have to remind him. Why? And the yelling and the nagging and all these things are so ineffectual. And you're really getting upset at the child, but you haven't really done your part of parenting, in my humble opinion. You haven't taught them where the limit is there. So,
it's so important to have, like, I honestly find, like, how are our kids going to know if they've never been told? Right. And we need to start at a young age, because honestly, I find that the older they get, the harder it is to put these boundaries, rules in place, you know, and they rebel a little bit more. They'll push it to the limits a little bit more. Like, how much more can I get away with, you know? And boundaries at different ages, like you said, you know, that's a great example, the dinner table one, for like the younger kids. Then you get into the tweens.
You know,
like, let's talk about some of those boundaries.
You know, a boundary issue for me might be, you know, I might say to if my child is giving me disrespect, I might say something like, I will not stand in the face of disrespect and say, let's talk when we can talk respectfully, and then I'll walk away. Or I might say, I don't let people talk to me like that. I hope you don't let people talk to you like that either. Let's talk when we can be respectful. So you make the expectation that we're going to have respectful conversations, but then parents listening to this, you have to make good on that promise. And yes. I will tell you that parents do not listen to children. They don't. They say they do. They're hearing them go la la la, but the parents already made up their mind and they're not really in a fulsome conversation trying to understand their youth. The majority of the teens in my practice say, my parents don't know me, my parents don't see me, my parents don't understand me, my parents don't get me. And all of that comes from a parent who's willing to listen. And we don't. We're just like, nope, I don't like that boy.
And I'm guilty of that. I will be the first to say that, like, I am not perfect. And I'm guilty of that too, where it's just like, no, I have made up my mind. In my head, I obviously say this, not to them.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of you parents listening at home, you know, feel the same way. So, you know, I'm on you. But you'll think like, you know, I've already made up my mind and they're talking, blah, 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 blah. But in my brain is going while they're talking. I'm like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I know what I'm going to say. I know where this is going. And that's that. And it's not good. You know, and as parents, we do need to actually stop and listen, because if we want that respect from them, we have to give them that same respect back, you know? And that is open lines of communication. That is actually listening to their concerns, their, you know, how they're feeling. Because otherwise, then that I feel that there's like a major disconnect too, that they feel that they can't come talk to us.
And certainly in the adolescent years, the size of their problems and the concerns that are going to happen in their personal life are going to be much more problematic than when they were little, you know. Yeah. You know, and they start coming to you with, you know, suicidal ideation, eating disorder, cutting, inappropriate online sexual content that they might have stumbled into that they're, you know, disturbed about. You really need to be on team teen. And if they start coming to you, then they've lost one of their greatest allies, one of their greatest processing people. We're a bit of a therapeutic agent, you know, for the teen years. And if they lose us as a resource, who are they going to go to? Mostly they just go to their teen friends. Well, you want teens giving teen advice to other teens? You're not going to get the quality information that they need, right? So
Allison, I see the advice that my girlfriends and I give each other, and that's not getting good advice as adults. So no, I do not want my teens going to their teen friends for advice.
Well, so let me give a tip, you know, like as parents that want to be better listeners, just try this, which is this idea of listening without fixing. So normally when we're talking as to people, when they're talking, our mind is busy with the rebuttal. And so we almost can't hear them because we're mounting the thing we're going to say next. Like we're volleyballing back and forth. You say this and then I counter with that. So instead, if you say, no, I'm just going to hold the space and I'm not going to rebut. I'm not going to have a comment back. I'm just going to really listen. And you give them that floor. Listen without fixing. Listen with the intent of understanding, not solving, not guiding. So you're really just being like a therapist. Listening like a therapist, no judgment, just listening to what they have to say. And you'll find that, oh my gosh, they'll go way deeper into topics.
It's true, because you're giving them that voice, you know, and the power to be heard and understand. And I know for me as an adult, when someone gives me that space, that safe space, I tend to open up more. Where, you know, without that, and you've got that, you know, back and forth, like you said, that volleyball, that ping pong, you know, it's like, okay, you know what, like I'm reserved, I'm holding back, I don't feel safe enough to truly open up and share what I'm going through. We are talking all about boundaries with our kids, with each other, and of course with the amazing Allison Schaefer. Don't go anywhere, because we'll be back with more right here on The Parenting Show on 640 Toronto.
Welcome back to The Parenting Show with Pina Crispo from chicmama.ca, Toronto's news, today's talk, 640 Toronto.
Welcome back. This is The Parenting Show on 640 Toronto, and I'm your host, Pina Crispo of chicmama.ca. We've got my girl, Allison Schaefer, family counselor, mama, and of course, good friend of the show and parenting expert. Allison, I don't know. There's so many great things that I can say about you. I don't even know where to start.
You're making an
amazing advice giver. Giver. Do you like that? Advice giver.
Giver. My new title.
Put that on a business card. Well, we're talking about like boundaries and our kids and us as parents, and are we doing it right? And, you know, is it something that is, I said it before, you know what I mean? Where people look at it and say, oh, if you know, boundaries, you're being selfish. But in reality, we're doing it because that is what is going to help us feel safe, feel protected, help us grow, help communicate to those around us, how we will tolerate being treated and not treated. Boundaries are important to have and to teach our kids at a young age that they too need to establish boundaries and also respect the boundaries of others.
Absolutely. You know, when we miss out on that level, then it really is one of the components that leads kids to having an entitled attitude. You know, your basic sort of personality and approach to life, believe it or not, sort of gets formed between the ages of birth and about 5 or 6. And if you've been an indulgent parent that hasn't set appropriate boundaries, and then you have a child that really believes that the world owes them whatever they want, that really ends up looking pretty bad when you get into the teen years. They really kind of believe the rules don't pertain to me. So you've got kids that will start, you know, skipping school, you know, being taking advantage, shoplifting. You know, I've seen kids take their parents' credit cards so that they can buy online games, and they feel that this is quite deserved.
Yeah, like there's nothing wrong with it. I want this, and I'm just going to get it.
Yeah, well, you know, I asked you, and you didn't give it to me, and you know, so I just had to like solve that problem on my own, and they sort of have this feeling that it's deserved. So think this is again. I'm using parent-child relationships. But even in the workplace, if people don't get raises or they don't feel that their salary is enough, they start stealing from the stockroom. That's also an entitled attitude, right? Where it's like, yeah. Oh, well, you know what? I can't get it through the proper means, so I'm just going to shore it up by illegal means. So adults do this too. There is, you know, if you're entitled as a teen, you're going to end up feeling entitled, you know, as an adult. And this is really problematic. So I often get parents who have a hard time with the parenting culture, where we as a culture haven't set boundaries. So think about this. What is the average cost of a prom dress? When did it become normal that kids should have limos? That kids are demanding that adults provide them with alcohol at the grade 8 prom.
Mind blowing.
You know, that everything suddenly now, the dollar amount And the way some of these end of year celebrations are going, and the parents will say, well, of course they have to get their hair ombre'd and professional makeup and acrylic nails. And the ticket on this is getting higher and higher because all the parents are saying, well, I don't want my kid to miss out on this social event, but no parents are putting their foot down. Like somebody's got to come back to common sense and say, this is stupid, people. We're not all millionaires. This is not a requirement of prom. So we collectively aren't setting appropriate limits.
It's so true. You know what, Allison, I'm starting a group. Any parent that wants to join me, we're gonna start this movement where we're gonna put our foot down and say, like, this is BS, okay? Because it is. I recently had Shane Vidiata who on the show, and she was talking about being an explanter and removing her breast implants, but she was saying that actually as a grad gift, more and more students are asking for breast implants. What?
Yep.
Like that's just another, you know what I mean? And parents that are giving into and be like, yeah, that's a great idea. What? What is going on? You know, back to school gifts. I just wanted a cool pair of jeans.
I know. Yeah. Well, you know, and what does that say when the parents are paying for boob jobs, right? I mean, goodness gracious. You know, I didn't get my first set of, I don't think I had a pedicure. I've never had acrylic nails, but I think the first time I like went to a nail salon was when I was a bride getting married. And you know, now it's like,
oh no, like, yeah, it's insane. Yeah. So we have to, yes, we have to. It'd be so nice if as a collective, we could come together and say, okay, you know what, we're going to put an end to this. But I find it so hard in society today. And I want your opinion on this, Allison. How do you, because I know how I feel about this, but how do you feel about schools, the school? And for example, everyone makes the team and everyone is a winner.
Yeah, I mean, this is why this concept of like boundaries and reflecting reality, you know, not everybody gets a trophy. Not everybody, you don't invite everybody you know to every dinner party. The truth of life is, you know, sometimes you win some, you lose some. Sometimes you're in, sometimes you're out. Sometimes you get disappointed. We don't need to protect kids from the reality of that. That everybody gets a trophy really came out of this idea that we realized that kids had a self-esteem and that we somehow started to view these external events that could somehow hurt a child's self-esteem. And we got really nervous about that. But we really thought kids were so much more fragile than they are. To me, that is, again, not reflecting the reality of life. That is not proper training for the way life goes. So no, I think that's hogwash, total hogwash.
Yeah, I totally, that's exactly how I feel. And I wish the schools would change things, because guess what? I tell my kids all the time, I'm like, life is not fair. So your sister got a lollipop in school today and the other two were like, well, I want one. I'm like, guess what? Some days you're going to get it. She's not going to get it. And that's just the way it goes. Not everyone's going to make the team. Not everyone's going to win at a dance competition. And you want to know why? Because some people are great at it and amazing and have worked so hard in practice. And other people, you know what? They don't have it in them. It's not the same. You know, there are teams that I never made. You want to know why? Because I sucked. You know, and some kids, I tell them straight up, you know what? Some kids suck and they shouldn't be on the team. So I think as a collective, we all need to come together on this. Yeah. And the schools need to help us too, because I feel that they're doing some kind of disservice to us as parents. Like, don't get me wrong, I love teachers and I appreciate all the hard work that they do. But some of this stuff is just like, you're making it harder for me as a parent. So please help. Let's be on the same side.
And neither do I want them to stir up competition, because I work with a lot of schools where I have to get rid of that, where they've got kids pitted against kids in a way that is not helpful for building community. So, you know, kids that have sticker charts and, you know, measuring things for as a form of sort of extrinsic motivation for things that don't need to be motivated. You know, school can feel like you're pitted against your fellow person. It should, in Adlerian training, what we say is that a non-competitive person can compete whether they win or lose, whereas a competitive person must compete, must win, or else they crumble. So we got to help in those. We got to raise kids to be non-competitive so that they can have fun competing, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. And I think that, you know what, like, unfortunately, what happens on the outside, we have zero control over. And I know a lot of people struggle over control and what they have control over, what they don't. And reality is that we only have control over our actions and what we do and what we choose to say. And as parents, how we choose to raise our children. And just because we raise them a certain way doesn't mean that they're going to turn out in the fashion in that that vision that we see them in, but we can certainly try. And boundaries are a huge part of that. And so we've got more, but we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back, because we've got Allison Schaefer on the show tonight. It's the Parenting Show right here on 640 Toronto.
You're listening to The Parenting Show with Pina Crispo from chicmama.ca, Toronto's news. Today's talk, 640 Toronto.
Welcome back. It is Sunday night and you are tuned into The Parenting Show right here on 640 Toronto. I'm your host, Pina Crispo of chicmama.ca. And with me, I've got Allison Schaefer, family counselor, mama. We're talking all about boundaries, boundaries that need to be put in place, especially the boundaries between parents and our children. And Allison, how much do you, I'm sorry if you could pick this up, David. And Allison, I want to know how popular this is with you and your clients, boundaries when it comes to technology.
Oh, I listen, probably the number one burning parenting issue for that comes.
Is that not insane?
Every family is struggling with how to manage technology, how to use it for the good, how to constrain either what they're seeing on technology or the amount of time that they're using technology, and it has confounded parents. And I think that the pandemic didn't help because, of course, people had to be online for school.
Yes,
they felt guilty that the kids were missing out on all these other social opportunities, so it became a lifeline for their social connection, and so we really kind of became the Wild West of abandoning all limits on tech. And it becomes problematic when a parent is trying to reestablish a boundary or a limit that they had at once given up on. It's like, if it's sort of like when you're allowed to stay up late in the summer and then your parents tell you that your bedtime is actually an hour earlier because we're going back to school.
I know.
It's like, we don't like going backwards, right? And so I think that that's sort of what's happened with technology, where, you know, we basically got rid of all the limits and the boundaries, and now we're realizing, come on, we got to get back to the new normal, and it can't be as crazy as it was during the pandemic. And parents have this guilt about taking away something that they already said yes to. Those boundaries tend to be harder, and I see that a lot around tech.
It's not easy. Like, I've got, you know, Samantha's turning 12 in June, Liliana is turning 10 in May, and Marcus is 7, turning 8 in October. And they're all within that age group, and they've got devices. Do they have cell phone plans? No. Do I monitor their time? Yes. They obviously want to be on it to connect with their friends and stuff like that, which I understand and I get. But for me, what I do is, as soon as you get home from school, you have to put your coat away, empty out your backpack, bring your lunch bag to the kitchen, wash your hands, go to the bathroom, do homework, and then maybe you can jump on for a bit, you know? And I try to take it away from them, you know, prior to bedtime, so they have that bit of time to unwind, right? Without being all hyper from playing. But also, it's like, you know, one of the things that I always get from them too is, like, more so Samantha, my tween, where she's like, you know, can I get TikTok? And she asked me this like maybe a month or two ago, and I was like, nope. And she's like, well, why? And I was like, well, Samantha, I'm like, the terms of service and, you know, terms of service and conditions clearly state that you need to be 13 years of age. I said, and so we can revisit that at that point, but you're 11 right now. I said, and don't forget that this is the, you know, mama is a content creator. So I know this world all too well, and I understand how social media works, and I'm not about it, you know? And I had a serious conversation with her, but like you said, where I was speaking respectfully, not raising voices and sharing. And she's like, okay, that's cool.
I love too the approach there, and I recommend other parents adopt this too, which is, you want to be an ally with your kids. So what you're saying is, yes, I understand you want to get on TikTok. Let's work to make that happen when we meet these conditions, right? So when you meet the terms of service, it says this is an app that says you need to be 13, or, you know, kids will beg their parents for a cell phone, and instead of going like, you don't need a cell phone, well, I would say, yes, let's work on getting you a cell phone. What are all the things that you need to do? It could be 2 years down the road, right? Yeah. Well, why don't we start by, you know, let's get you there. I see that you're eager. Let's start with seeing whether or not you can bring your lunchbox and your mittens home from school for a whole year. And, you know, because
yeah, right?
$1,200 device when your kids can't even bring their mittens home, you know? And so thinking about this idea that you've got this long-term plan, but you're not just being the meanie who says no and thwarts them from all their desires. You're saying, I love it, I like it, let's work on it. But the strategy could be 18 months. But at least yeah. they know that you get why they're excited about it. It's just such a more positive approach, and kids are much more likely to go along with that when they feel that you're an ally rather than someone that they have to fight, defeat, cheat, sneak around, retaliate against. It just stirs up problems in the relationship.
Absolutely. And I think that even when it comes to technology, we're also going back to what you said before, where it's like, you know, parents need to like come together. Like, when was it okay to spend this much money on prom and do all this stuff, you know, where it's like, we also need to come together when it comes to technology, because that's another thing I hear. Well, my friend has this, or my friend is allowed to play this video game, or my friend, you know, has data on their phone. And I'm like, well, that's great. I'm like, but you know, we are not them. They have a different mom, a different dad. Their situation is different. And that works for them. This doesn't work in the Chic Mama house.
Yeah, I love that. You know, and it is very true that what you'll see pockets by populate, like the average age of getting a cell phone in Florida is very different than it, you know, or it'll go by certain middle schools where everyone will have one or no one will. So it is very much a kind of a group think where everyone jumps on. You know, what's interesting too, is that it's often parents who want the kids to have the cell phone because the parents want to supervise them. They want to monitor them. They, you know, back in the day, I walked home from school. My parents were still working. I was a latchkey kid. I didn't phone my parents from the landline and say, I made it home from school. We trusted kids to be safe. And now we got to put a GPS tracker on everything so we know where they are.
The air tags,
yeah,
on their kids.
Yeah. And then what do the kids do? They turn off. They turn off Find My Phone, and then they don't return their parents' text. And then we have a big fight about that. Well, back in the day, you came home when the streetlights came on. Do you remember those days?
Where it was exactly. Like, oh my gosh.
Know where I was.
My dad used to send my sisters and I like on our bikes crossing busy roads to buy him smokes at the
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there was a whole, you probably remember Lenore, I forget her last, forgetting her name, but anyway, she's known as the free range mama. And she got really criticized because she let her 9-year-old ride the New York City subway on her own. And a lot of parents will say, again, this is this cultural thing where they're afraid to let their kids roam because they're worried that the police or neighbors are going to report them to children's services as being neglectful parents. But we really have tethered our kids so close. That boundary that's too short a tether, parents. That's the boundary we need to be moving out, not in. My gosh.
It's so true. And you know what? What does that say about trust between you and your child?
Yeah. Well,
and I think we need to give them a little bit of rope, you know what I mean? And send them out there. I'm not saying ride the New York subway right now. But give them a little bit of space so they can be independent and learn that, you know, like, oh my gosh, the respect that, you know what I mean? Like would mean so, I know it means so much to my kids when I give them a little bit, you know, and they're like, okay, mama, trust me.
I'm trusting them and training them. For sure, you have to give them some street smarts and teach them how to use public transportation and look both ways before you cross the street and all those good life lessons. But, you know, somewhere along the way, we started teaching stranger danger. And, you know, we're living in a population that has the highest anxiety rate probably ever in the history of humans. And it's not good messaging to tell people that people out on the street are out to get you. It's much better to be Mr. Rogers and to say a stranger is just a friend you haven't met yet. Let's get a better attitude.
I like that, Allison. Like that. See, and this is where boundaries, they all come into play too. It's full circle. Oh gosh. And can you believe it? This is it. The show has come to an end already. It flies. Woo. It flies. But Allison, you have a webinar coming up, right?
I do. I'm actually doing it for those parents. I have a kids in tech webinar coming up at the end of the month, and people can register through my, all the details are on my webpage at AllisonSchaefer.com, or follow me on social media, AllisonSchaefer.com. I'm putting up, it's in my link tree and everything.
Go do it, guys. The information she shares is next level. It is amazing. Love you, Allison. Thank you for joining us. And if you missed any of the show and you want to listen back, You can do so on our podcast, and it can be downloaded anywhere that you like to download your podcast. But that is it for us. Again, Allison, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
And have a great Sunday, everyone. We'll catch you next week. Same time, same place. This is The Parenting Show, and I'm your host, Pina Crispo of chicmama.ca.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.